Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be able to worship the Lord together.
Yes.
Wasn't that nice? Oh, couldn't you just see the Lord as we worshiped Him, just smiling, His face shining down on us? Just the wonderful knowledge that we have of a God who loves us so much. We're so blessed. There's people in the world tonight, they don't know how much God loves them. Oh, but we're so blessed to know that and to be able to have the opportunity to share what God shared with us. Amen? If you would, open up your Bibles in the book of Genesis. Let's look at some scriptures in Genesis 28 and Genesis 32. And here's the thought, what's on my heart tonight. Let's talk about going from the house of God to the face of God. Let's talk about going from conversion to consecration. Let's talk about getting out of churchianity and getting into Christianity.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Getting out of religion and getting into relationship.
Yeah.
You and I, we know this, but other people don't.
No,
they think that just going to church makes everything all right, and we need to help them step in just a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Amen? Because, you know, there's been a time when we were, you know, I can remember as a little boy that, you know, I was afraid of the water, and they'd take me swimming, and they still tease me about this to this day, and they'd say, come on out and get in the water deeper. And I said, but Mama, I'm up to my ankles. You know, and that's the way it is. A lot of things about church. We step into church and you know, and we're just ankle deep in the things of God. He wants to get in way over our head, and He wants to just saturate us. And so we want to be there to be able to help people understand that there's more. Amen. And the only way they'll ever know there's more is they see it and receive it from you.
Yeah.
Because God has chose you as a vessel to give it. Amen?
Amen.
Alright. Genesis 28. Let's, for sake of time, because we've covered these verses of Scripture before, let's just pick it up in verse 16. You know the story very well here about Jacob. But he's winning. He's had a dream. And let's pick it up there after he comes out of that dream. Genesis 28, verse 16. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God.
Amen.
This is the gate of heaven. Oh, glory. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillar, and he set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, and Bethel, fully translated, means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I will go and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. Now turn over to the 32nd chapter. Let's read just the closing verses of this 32nd chapter to get a full thought of what we're talking about. Genesis 32:22. And he, Jacob, rose up that night, and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And he saw, and when he saw that he would prevail not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, another form of the same word, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. It is life unto those who receive it. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you take us to places we've never been before. Lord, we've come and we've come to the house of God faithfully. Lord, and we've come earnestly seeking you. Lord, but there's got to be more than a church house. There's got to be more than a pew. There's got to be more than fellow people that I'm sitting with and I'm talking with. There's got to be more than the preacher. There's got to be a Holy Spirit that will take us to the place where we can see Jesus like we've never saw Him before. And I ask you tonight, Lord, that you take us by the hand and by your small, still voice, you lead us to that place. And Lord, those things that are in our lives that are keeping us from coming into the fruition of what you would have, help us give them to you. And help us allow you to change the name of situations and circumstances. Change us, Lord, and help us to be blessed by you and help us come into all that you have for us. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus, believing we receive, and we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise you, Jesus. You and I, when God created us, He created each one of us special and unique. We've talked about that many times. And He gave each one of us a calling. And with that calling, the enemy, the devil, he knows what God wants to do with your life. He knows what God wants to do with my life. And the devil will set up circumstances and roadblocks and situations to try to keep you and I from getting what God wants for us.
Right.
See, God not only has a plan and a destiny for us, but He also has a way for us to come into that. And I don't know if we had time, I'm sure I could get a testimony from each and every one of you how the devil has tried to circumvent what God had for you.
Right.
He'd try to get you and I to settle for something that less than God's best, or He would try to get us to get what God wanted in a different form or fashion than what the Word has promised. Amen?
Yes.
And so we see Jacob. Now, as the prophecy went out about Jacob and about his brother Esau, Rachel, she knew. She went and she sought God. Amen? And God told her, said you're gonna have two nations inside of your womb. And the younger is going to prevail over the older. The older is going to serve the younger. So she had a revelation. She had knowledge. But you see, with knowledge, if we're not careful, if we put it into human wisdom and understanding, we'll take what is a great truth from God and we'll try to work God's plan. And when we try to do it in the natural, we mess things up. Amen? I've messed things up. I've heard from God before and I knew it was the Lord. Amen? But then I tried to do it in the way that I thought God wanted it to be done, and I got it all in a mess. Amen? And this is what she done with these two children. She knew what God's plan was, but she tried to make God's will come to pass in her way. When they were born, all of a sudden, Esau's born first. Amen? But as he's born, the hand of Jacob is on the very heel of Esau. Okay? And that's why we have Jacob's name. His name means heel catcher. Or it means supplanter. In other words, taking the place thereof. He knew what his destiny was. Amen? And he knew that it was his birthright to be in that place, but it didn't work out in the natural seemingly. But guess what? Some things in your life, in my life, in the natural seem like it's not going to work out, but God Almighty is going to have the final say. God's going to bring His will to pass. And so what we got to do, we got to learn to wait patiently on the Lord, hear a word from Him to get a vision and to get comforted and get encouraged, but then we got to let Him, amen, manifest it and bring it to pass. So here Jacob is. Because of what had happened in his life then, you know the story, but just to kind of lay a little bit of groundwork, his mother told him, hey, this is how you're going to get the birthright. This is what you need to do. He said, so she set him up. She put deception in his life, amen, and put him in a place where he puts fur. You know the story. He put fur on his body to make himself look and or feel like Esau because his dad was blind. Isaac was blind. He couldn't see. He had to go by what he felt. He had to go by what he could smell. And so this deception was set up in his life, and it set Jacob on a path. A path of getting what God had for him, but getting it in a fleshly, carnal way. And you and I tonight, we've got to be on guard for that. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
And the way we do that is we have to have experiences with God, but we don't let those experiences just be something that's external. We come to the place where that we go from Bethel. We go from the house of God to a place where we're intimate with the Lord.
Amen.
Where we're holding on to Him. We're fellowshipping with Him. He's talking to us and we're talking to Him, and we're allowing Him to do what only He can do in our life. Amen?
Right.
Now see, Jacob here, he gets the birthright, but he gets it in a carnal way. So all of a sudden, now he's got to leave. He's got to leave his dad, his mom, his home, everything that he knows, because his brother's going to kill him. And so as he leaves, he comes and it comes to this place called Luz, meaning almond tree, meaning it's a place that's fixing to be woken up. An almond tree is the first thing that wakes up in the spring, amen? And it's woken up and it's renamed to Bethel, to the house of God. And he has a relationship all of a sudden with God, where God's come and speaks to him in a dream. And a lot of times that's what happens to people. God's dealing with them. Conviction's coming. And He draws them. He brings them into the house of God. And something's starting to come alive in their life. A first awakening. But then things happen like it did with Jacob. They go about their way. And they go and do what somebody's told them to do rather than what God told them to do. He went and done what his mama said, not what God said. And he makes this vow to God, and he has to leave. And now for 20 years then, his life is in a place where he's serving Laban to get a wife who ultimately turns out to be the wrong one. Amen. You know the story. He wants Rachel, but he gets Leah, and that he gets deceived in himself. Now can you imagine thinking that you're marrying one lady or one man and you end up married to somebody else? Come on. In other words, the Bible says that God's not mocked. Whatever a man or woman, whatever they sow, they shall reap. He sowed deception, deception come back in his life. And he dealt with this uncle who changed his wages 10 times in those 10 years, or 20 years, to do everything he could to try to keep him from prospering. So if we try to get God's best in the natural, my whole point is we go through struggles. We go through hardships that we otherwise wouldn't have to. Amen? And so we want to help people. We want to make ourselves available. We want to say, Lord God, I've been praying for this person. They're starting to come to church. They're starting to be a part. But I don't want them to fall by the wayside. I don't want them to listen to man. I want you to give me something that's from heaven. I want fresh manna. I want to speak as the oracles of God. I want to be used by you to help them. Amen? And to encourage them. And so this is why we're using this analogy, because the Old Testament is written for our teaching. Amen? Our learning, it says, where we can avoid bad mistakes. We can embrace the good. Amen? All right. Now bear with me as I get this groundwork laid down. It's not enough just to go to church. Because, see, that's what he done. That's what this is a type to teach us. And he went through 20 years of struggle. So let's leave all that alone and let's go back here to this 32nd chapter, and let's see where his life starts changing. God speaks to him and he says, hey, remember the vow you vowed to me at Bethel, at the house of God? He said you were going to come back. So it's time for you to get out from this place and you get back to where I want you to go. See, Jacob didn't want to do this because he was a very passive person. I'm a passive person. I don't like confrontation. Amen? Jacob didn't like confrontation. And so he didn't want to confront Laban. He had to. He didn't want to confront Esau, but he had to. And all of this was, this 20-year time period was something that the devil meant for harm, but it was a time period where God was going to turn it for something good.
Right.
So you and I, we may be some things in our life where it looks like it's harmful, where it looks like it's been a waste. It's not going to be a waste, because we're going to hold on to God, and God's going to use that time period to take us and to the place and the destiny that we were born for. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what happens. As he gets ready, look at this. God tells him in the 31st chapter, and we won't look at that, but tells him to leave. And immediately, chapter 32, Jacob went on his way, verse 1, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him.
Yes.
Now those same angels that he met at Bethel, that in that dream where he saw, as he laid his head on the rock, as he laid his head on Jesus, and he saw heaven open, and angels descending and ascending on the stairway from heaven.
Amen.
Those same angels then, they're around him in the front and in the back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In other words, it don't matter if Laban come after him or if Esau come toward him, he's protected front and back. You and I, we have a promise tonight. Psalms chapter 34 says the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear the Lord. You and I tonight, we wherever it's God. So we got the angel of the Lord all the way around us. Amen. It don't matter what we're going to have to face tomorrow, and it don't matter what we faced yesterday, God's with us. And God's hands upon us, and He's going to help us. But we've got to come to the place where we recognize and realize everything about life is to get rid of self.
Amen.
To prune us and to purge us of those things that are a hindrance to God's will and to God's plan. And it's going to take us into being all that God's called us to be. Amen? Okay. Look at verse 9. And Jacob said, O God, my father of Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return into thy country, into thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. And we won't read the rest of the prayer, but this is the first recorded prayer in the Bible that I can find that's recorded. And he speaks it out. Amen. And he says, God, you told me to go. Now I've got word that I'm going to meet my brother, and he's got 400 armed men with him. Okay, and he's reminding God, God, you said go, here I am, I'm going to meet trouble. Tonight, how many of you started going to church and you met trouble?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Come on. Just as soon as you start going to church, as soon as you got on it this morning, you start praying, Brother Dennis taught it very well, then you're going to receive opposition.
Oh, yeah.
You start trying to give to the church, or you start trying to give to family or to friends, help them with time, money, whatever, and all of a sudden you feel things start happening.
Yeah.
Because the devil cannot stand it. Amen. He wants us to live under ourselves. He wants us to be separated from everybody. But here, he reminds God. And that's good. You and I, we need to pray. We need to remind God of His promises. But drop down and look at verse 13. The old Jacob is still there. See, Jacob's always trying. He knows how to use his mind. He knows how to use his wiles, if you would. It says, and he lodged there that same night, Jacob did, and he took that which he had, which came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. 550 in number. He takes this. This is over $125,000 in today money, the best I can figure it. Now think about that. He prayed, but where was his faith with his prayer? You see, he's still dependent upon self. And tonight, this is an example for you and I. We pray about a lot of things, but then we put the prayer down and we pick up what we can do.
Yeah.
How can I take care of this? How can I handle this? How can I change the circumstance and the situation? But we've got to come to the place where it's not about going to church. It's about meeting God face to face. It's about letting God be God and letting God do what He said He would do. God said tonight He would save our household. I've got to let Him do that. I've got to believe that. God said He would heal our bodies. I've got to come to the place where I receive what He has for me. God said He would make me joyous. If I would what? If I would keep my mind stayed on Him, I'd have peace, and the joy of the Lord would give me strength. All of these promises, they're mine, but I've got to come and let God do it. Amen? I can't do it on my own. Now, all of a sudden here, as He works this plan out, we won't take time because I won't hold you. Drop down to where we start in verse 22. And he rose up that night, and he took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and he passed over the ford Jabbok. Now, Jabbok, fully translated, it means emptying. So this is helping us to see what God's got a divine plan. Remember, the Bible talks about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. It said that He humbled Himself in the form of a servant. And what it's saying in the Greek, it says that He emptied Himself out. He laid down all of heaven. Remember, the Bible said He was made poor, that I might be made rich, that you might be made rich. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He emptied Himself out all of God's power and authority. He emptied it out that He could become as a man and walk on this earth as you and I in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, like you and I.
Praise God.
Showing that you can live a life by the anointing of God. You can live by the promises of God. He laid forth the example. He didn't ask us to do nothing that He wasn't willing to do. And so this is a type to teach us, to help us to understand we've got to get along with God. It's not about our family. Praise God for our family. But our family can't save us. Our family can't deliver us. Our family can't do what God can do. And He emptied Himself out and He got alone with God. And tonight, you and I, we need to come and we need to get alone with God.
Amen.
And we say, God, I want to hear what You have for me. I want to hear what You have that is only from heaven. Amen. Now look at this. He took them and He sent them over the brook. And He sent over that He had. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Are we willing to get alone with God? Just God in our thoughts. God in who we really are. You see, for a long time the devil had me afraid to get alone with God because he had me convinced that God would kill me. Because I knew myself. Come on now. We're sinful people without God. But that's what God wants. God wants us to present ourselves to Him and say, hey, this is who I am. But I know who You are. And I know what You came to do in my life. And I know You can change me. Amen? And that's what we've got to do. Open ourselves up before God. Get alone with the Lord. And when we get alone with the Lord, it doesn't matter who's at church or who's not at church. It doesn't matter what song is being sung or what song ain't being sung. It doesn't matter if it's hot, if it's cold. It's just you and God. Amen? And it doesn't matter if anybody else is listening or not. But you're hearing from the Lord God Almighty. Heaven is being brought into your spirit by the Spirit of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. Getting alone with Him. And Jacob was left alone. Now look at this. And there wrestled a man with him. Didn't say Jacob initiated this wrestling. No. God initiated the wrestling with Jacob. And there wrestled a man. He initiated it. Why? Because he wanted Jacob to locate himself. He wanted Jacob to find out who he was and where he was at. Tonight, things happen in our life and we don't know why they happen. But if we'll get along with the Lord and we allow God to start opening up some truths to us, He reveals my heart. He shows me why I do what I do. Why I feel the way I feel. Why I say what I say. When times, I don't know about you, but I said certain things and then later I thought, why did I say that?
Yeah.
I didn't mean that. And I didn't, you know what I mean? But there was something in my heart that caused that to come out. There was a feeling there. There was an issue in my life that I didn't even know that was buried down deep in my life. But when I got alone with Him, then He what? He allowed me to empty myself out. Come on, take things out of my heart. I heard a minister preach one time and he got alone with the Lord and he was praying. And as he was praying, God gave him a vision. And as He gave him a vision, He showed him his own heart. And as he looked in his heart, he saw the Holy Spirit going down in that heart and taking things out. And it pulled out something and it had roots that was long and they was going all through his heart. And he said, he just asked the Lord, he said, Lord, what is that? What are You showing me? And He said, that's your blank tradition. Certain church that he had been raised in. He said, that's your tradition that still has a hold on you, that's keeping me from letting you be all I've called you to be. And so when he said, well, Lord, take it. I don't want it. If it's keeping me from being what You want me to be, take it out. Then his life started to change. And that's what this is an example of here, of the situation with Jacob. You and I tonight, if we'll get along with God, He'll show us some things.
Amen.
Why? I'm tired of doing the same old thing over and over, ain't you? I'm tired of beating my head against the wall. I want some different results. I want God to be God, and I want Him to show me the truth. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. You know, today everybody is so busy. We're in such a hurry. It doesn't matter what we're doing, we're in a hurry. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get wore out of thinking about, well, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. And when I finally get this done, these other things, they weren't done right.
Yeah.
Because I had to be in such a hurry. Amen. Well, that's not just in the natural. That's the way it is with our spiritual life.
Yeah.
We have to be in such a hurry all the time that we miss out on God's best. And we got to get to a place where we can get alone with God and say, God, I'm here. No matter how long it takes, I'm here. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to examine me. I want you to help me empty out everything that is hindering your plan and your will. You and I tonight, we're not as we said this morning, we're not as happy as we should be. We're not as excited about things that we should be. I mean, really, I mean, we talk about Jesus died for us and we go, yeah. We should say, yes, He did. We need to remember what it was like when we first heard that. And that should be so exciting. Amen. We've got to get out of what we know and learn, do the first works over, and put in remembrance that excitement. Amen? And so we can be an exciting group of people to other people. It said, until the breaking of the day. Now we talked about it this morning. Remember, God's mercies is new day by day. Okay? When this started, Jacob, he's in his old way. His old situation. But as he starts wrestling with the Lord, as the Lord initiated the wrestling, he grabs a hold of God. Now I want you to see this. Now this is a literal wrestling match, but this is a type to teach us about the spiritual.
Yes.
We come to God in prayer. And we're wanting to talk to God. God, I need this job. God, I need this healing. God, I need this. And God says, no, I want to talk to you about the way you talk to your wife. I want to talk to you about the way you talk to the employee or to the little girl who was taking the change at the cash register.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to you about that. Then we'll talk about this other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Come on now. This is what we're talking about. Getting real with who we are. We want to win the lost. But when we meet the lost, what's on our face? What's coming out of our life? What's coming out of our heart? The lost are more aware of whether you love them or not than we ever dreamed of.
That's the truth.
Come on.
Come on, I'm not being mean. I'm being honest with you. God's wanting to do a work. Because why? Because He looks at y'all and He knows that you're willing. He knows that you want to let Him be God. He knows it. I feel it in my spirit. I'm excited. And God's just talking to us. He's just dealing with us, wanting to lift us up, bring us up to a higher place in Him. There's nothing that you can't do in the name of Jesus. And that's what He's saying to us. But to be able to do that, we've got to get honest with ourselves. And the only way we can get honest with ourselves is not what I say to you, not what your wife or your friend or your brother or your sister says, what God says to you.
Amen.
God knows your heart. Amen? He understands you. You don't understand me. You look at me and you think, I wonder why he did that. God knows why I did it. Amen? All right. Breaking until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. Are we willing to fight? Are we willing to wrestle for God's promises? To be all God's called us to? Are we willing to hold on? And say, God, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to let you wrestle out of me. Everything. See, all this time, Jacob thought his fight was with Laban. Thought his fight was the fact that Isaac loved his brother more than him. Thought his fight was the fact that he was going to meet this brother. The fight wasn't with him. The fight was with God.
Amen.
Because God seen that there was something wrong in Jacob's life, but he loved him so much, he wasn't going to leave him in that situation. Tonight, God's drawing us. And he's saying, I'm looking at your heart, but I don't want you to feel condemned. I want you to feel the possibility of where I can bring you. Tonight, I want to be free. And the only way I can be free is if I hear the truth by the Spirit of God. Not by the preacher, not by somebody else, but I hear it by the Spirit of God. I hear God say, listen, if you'll just give this to me, I can fix this right now, and you'll have joy like you never had before.
Amen.
You'll have peace like you never had before. You'll be able to come into promises into my life that I have, that I died to give you. That's what Jesus is, the life. Amen? And He died to give you. You'll be able to come into those promises in my life that you'll otherwise ever attain. And he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Let's think about this. You and I know if you're pushing on somebody, all your strength is coming from this section.
Yeah.
If we're putting everything in, and so immediately He's lost all of his strength. He's lost his ability to stand. He's lost his ability to do everything. When you and I let God touch us and get us down on our knees, get us down where God's lifted up, and we recognize and we realize who God is, and we look at Him from this point of view, and we see, oh, I'm nothing.
That's right.
I was a sinner. I'm not anymore, but I was a sinner. Now I'm saved. Amen. And I'm a saint. Amen. Now you're saved and you're a saint. But I look up and I see the glory of God, and I see someone who loved me enough to come to where I was at to save me. I get into that place and I recognize in myself I can't stand up. In myself I can't fight anymore. In myself I can't save myself. But Jesus, amen, He's the one that's done it. And then what do? Then the rest of the match changes. Jacob's not wrestling standing up. Jesus is there. He's wrapped around his legs. Come on, this is the angel of the Lord. He's wrapped around his legs. He's holding on to him. The wrestling match is now, you're not leaving me. You're not leaving me. I know that I can't stand up. I can't make it. I can't do this. I can't come into the call. I can't be what you said I was going to be, the birthright. I can't be the promised heir. Come on, you and I, we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're to carry on the lineage. We're to carry on the promise. We're to do the work of the risen Savior. Yes. We can't do it till we get down and we hold on to Him. Remember, Jesus is getting ready to ascend after the crucifixion. John 19, verse number 30. He's getting ready to ascend. And all of a sudden, He talks to Mary. He says, "Touch me not, for I've not ascended." But the word from the Greek, it's not that. It's don't adhere to me. Don't cling to me, because I've got to go away. Yeah. You know, it was all right for her to touch Him. Because right. Remember, John laid on his bosom.
Right.
And all, so that's not the issue. The issue was, let go.
Yeah.
Let go, because I've got to go. But she was holding on to Him. Amen. That's what we've got to do. We've got to see Jesus risen up. He's out of the tomb, amen?
Amen.
And we've got to hold on to Him. And that's what Jacob's doing here. He's holding on to Him. Verse 26. And he said, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." It's a new day. And he said, "I will not let go except thou bless me." Are you and I, are we willing to hold on to the Lord until He blesses us? God, I'm not leaving this place.
Amen.
It may not be a physical place. I mean, in your heart. My mind is steadfast. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to go through the same things again. I'm not going to let the devil beat me up in this anymore. I'm not going to let the carnal man win. I'm going to let You be God. And He said unto him, "What is thy name?" Now, can you imagine? Can you see there, Jacob? He's got a hold of Jesus' legs, the pre-incarnate Christ. He's looking up at Him. And he said, "I'm not going to let go of you." And Jesus says, "We need to talk about some things."
Mm-hmm.
"What's your name?" Because now, Jacob's asking for a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go back in history to understand this. The last time he asked for a blessing, remember, he come to his father.
Uh-huh.
And he come in deception. He said, "I'm Esau." He lied to his dad. And so this has got to be addressed. Today, you and I, we've got to help people see and understand they can't move forward in the Lord until they address the things of the past.
Amen.
Now, God's a God that forgives those things. But Brother Dennis got on it this morning. Just because they've been forgiven don't mean there's not consequence. Don't mean that they can't just be done away with. They've got to be dealt with. Amen? And so here he is. He said, "What's your name?" Now, I want you in your mind's eye, I want you to see with tears as Jacob looks up to the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, looks up at Him. "My name's Jacob."
Yeah.
Because remember, he's saying, "My name is all those things that's attached to it. I'm a supplanter. I'm a heel catcher. I'm a deceiver."
Yeah.
"I deceived my dad. I deceived my brother." Mm-hmm. I'm a deceiver. See, when we get down like that, we can be alone with the Lord. We can empty out and we say, "God, here I am."
Yeah.
Come on. Just me and you. Nobody else has to know. But I can tell you, this is what I truly feel. This is what I've truly done.
Yeah.
And I know that You love me enough that You're not going to allow that to be my future. But You're going to make a way that that's took out of my life and the blessing comes in my life. Amen?
That's right.
Come on. Your potential is unlimited. It is so great. It is designated and it is ordained of God that you and I be a part of the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Amen? You and I, we can see the world change. Because why? Because Jesus abides in you. And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Oh, don't you love this? And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." Come on. That's what God says to us. Greg, you're no longer a liar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your name's not liar. Your name's not sinner. Your name is not hateful and murderer. Come on, murdered people with my tongue. Talked about them. Your name's not hypocrite. Come on now. Let's get right where we live. Let's get honest. Your name is not thief. Your name is now in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to give you a white stone and your name is on it. Amen? Oh, glory. See, Israel. What does Israel mean? Israel, fully translated, means He will rule as God. In other words, we're letting God be God. He's ruling in our life. Mm-hmm. And because He's ruling, Jesus said, "You will rule and reign mm-hmm. with me."
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Jacob overcome everything that had been put in his life at this moment of time.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. You and I, we can overcome. All we got to do is to get down at the feet of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
And then listen, after we tell Jesus who we are and what we were without Him, then He tells us who we are with Him.
Yes, amen.
I want you to be so encouraged. I want you to see yourself washed in the blood.
Amen.
That white robe of righteousness upon you, because if you start seeing yourself that way, guess what? You're going to start walking in that. And when
yes,
the devil
amen.
Tries to tell you something different, you laugh at him. Because you're empowered, because you've got a vision of who God's made you. Not what the generation says, not what the history says, not all of those things, not about the world, and they'll bring up your past.
Sure.
Yeah.
But what God says.
Yeah.
I love this. He says, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men." And with men. God said about Jesus, and that goes for you and I as well, He said, "I'm going to increase your favor."
Yes.
With me, God talking to Jesus, with God, but with man. And that's what you and I, we need to pray every night for each other.
Amen.
Oh, Father God, increase our favor as a church, as a group of people, with You. Because as it increases with You, it's going to increase with the world.
Amen.
Those people that we're trying to reach, amen? Just a minute. I won't hold you. I'm sorry. And Jacob, I love this. Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name?" He said, you know who I am. You know who, and we do. We want to know more about God, but we know who He is. Amen? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God's face and my life is preserved. You see, the devil wants to tell us that we can't come in that close of a relationship with God. Because the flesh is screaming, "No, I'll die. I'll die." Now, y'all may not do that, but mine tells me, "Greg, if you get in the face of God, He's going to show you some things. You're going to have to give this up." Y'all may not have that problem. I do. But it screams, "Greg, no." But Jacob said, "No, now I'm alive. Now I'm truly alive." You see, when we get in the presence of God, that's when we truly have life. Those other things that seem so important to the flesh, they're not. They seem like it. But then our spirit, we start what? The Bible says, walk in the newness of life and make no provision for the flesh. Come on, that's when true life starts coming. Okay, I'm going to let you go. Let me tell you this. If we were to look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, down about verse 21, it tells us we could advance 50 years in time and you see Jacob, he's ready to die. And it says as he's dying, he blesses, but he's leaning on the staff. He's leaning on the staff. Why? Because verse 31 says, "And he, as he passed, as Jacob passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." The flesh, when you and I get in the presence with God, the flesh is always going to go down.
That's the truth.
But this is not a bad thing. This is an experience for him to be able to recognize and realize that for once, he touched God and God touched him.
Yeah.
And he was forever changed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's you and I, let's be honest with God and ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's just between us, God. I need something touched in my life tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It controls me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give it to you.
Yeah.
And I want it to be a lasting experience, a testimony that as I walk through my salvation, for the rest of my life, when I take my dying breath, I'm leaning on the staff, I'm leaning on the rod, I'm leaning on God, that I know that God touched me. And He gave me victory over it, and He changed me forever. Amen? I'll let you go. Let me read just to make sure that we understand what we're talking about in the book of Hosea. I just want to read this real quick. Hosea chapter 12. God says, "And Ephraim feedeth on the wind," verse 1, "and falleth after the east wind, and he daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and the oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish," now this is why we came here, "will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him." Verse 3, "He," Jacob, "took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God." Verse 4, "Yea, he had power over the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, and prevailed. And he wept and made supplication unto him." That's how we know that when he won. When he wept before the Lord and he prayed and he said, "God, here I am." The angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, the same one that you look as, remember as the men come to Abraham as they're going to go and visit Sodom and Gomorrah, visit that sin. This is the same individual. You can look all through the Bible in the Old Testament and see the pre-incarnate Christ. And this is what we're talking about. But he wept. It's okay to be sorry for things in our life. When we weep and we give them to God, that's when in prayer God can change things.
Yeah.
Amen? Father, I thank you for a group of people that's patient. Lord, I've tried my very best to just bring forth the vision that you have spoken in my heart. Lord, I ask that not one person under the sound of my voice would be discouraged, but every person would be encouraged. The fact that you're desiring to use them in new and mighty ways, that you're wanting to lift them up in your plan, and you're wanting to make them the soul winners of the last day harvest. And Lord, I asked, and each one of us asked, and we give you permission individually and corporately that you search our heart by the Spirit and help us come to that place where we are touched by you. And the stronghold in the flesh, in the carnal man, that it be put down. And with weeping and supplication, we allow you to heal and to restore. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that not one person here tonight, that they take their last breath without fulfilling the destiny that you have for them. Father, you have a will and a plan, and we want to submit to that. And by the Spirit, let it come forth out of our lives. We ask you, Father, believe and we receive in the name of Jesus. Would you come tonight? Would you make yourself an altar with the Lord? And say, "Lord, here I am. Here I am before you. I'm not here by accident or circumstance. I'm here because you brought me here. And I want to hear this word. And I want you to allow me to be touched by you. And I want..." Listen, there's some people in this service tonight that fear controls their life. It needs to be touched by God. The unknown controls their life. You need to be touched by God tonight. There's some things in your life that you don't understand. Let God touch you. And as you hold on to Him, let Him speak to you tonight. And let Him elevate you into the destiny that only He has for you. Amen. God loves you so much. I love you, and I'm so thankful to be a part with you. God's going to do some things that we can only dream of. But we've got to be humble enough to say, God, here I am. Oh, praise Jesus. Father, oh Lord, humbly, Lord, we come to you. Oh, let your Holy Ghost examination and the X-ray of our lives to the
end. All I see is you.
The
more I
find
more than I can stand.
Thank you. Everything. I see the responsibility I bear, Lord. Etia, 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 the hundred le procosor. Oh, shana la bacastili, the bacastili, the bacastata. Oh, mamma, son, le procosor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Master. We love you. We love you. I feel the anointing go. Oh, I feel the go, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Master.
Glory be to God. It's so good to us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
anybody else. I keep hearing the word anxiety. Is there anybody, if you're still dealing with anxiety now, that's a name. That name has to bow at the name of Jesus.
Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.